Thank you for listening to this talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown, Atlanta.
Give me a second here. Give me a minute. Would you give me an hour? Maybe not. You have patience enough to give a second to me for me to get situated. You even have enough patience for me for a minute to get situated. But you're not going to have the patience enough to give me an hour of your time for me to get situated, because that is all the allotted time I have to give you inspiration on this Sunday to occur. So if you're going to give me an hour, then that's it. We're going to brunch now, if that's how long it takes. So you'll give me a second, you'll give me a minute, but you won't give me an hour. So what am I doing here is asking you to wait for me to do something. I'm asking for you to give me a second of your day for me to get ready or complete something for you. And you gladly give it to a point. For there's a tipping point when you realize you're giving me your time. 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour. And you weigh whether your patience is worth what is you're waiting to receive. That's how long you wait. We do this all the time. I ask you for time, you give it to me. Others ask you for time, you give it to them. Others don't even ask us for time and we give it to them. I just got back from visiting my niece in Utah and her son is 2 years old. And she was saying, just give him a couple years and he'll calm down. He'll get out of his terrible twos. So give my time to them. Let me have that patience for 2 years. We give our accountants and our CPAs a couple of weeks to get back to us. We give our kids a few years to figure things out. We give our marriages time to work out. We give our jobs time to show their success. We give our bodies time to heal. Over time, our investments will grow. So in our human world, we give and take time. We think we need to have time for all these things to unfold. But that's only here in our human world. In our human world, we have time. But in the mind of God, there is no time. In the mind of God, there is no time. There's not a second, there's not a minute, there's not an hour or a year. So as part of my talk today, give me a sec. The prop I wanted to use was a doorway. I was actually going to go to Home Depot and get a doorway because I wanted to step on this side of the doorway and this side of the doorway. So you know how I love props and I would have done that, but I'll just use the podium. And I've used the podium in the past and I always talk about cause, God, over on this side. And I always talk about effect over on this side. So I'll continue on with that and just use your imagination. I'm going on the doorway back and forth like this. So here I am on this side, 55 years old. Just last week, 55. I know I look young for my age, but just 55 last week. That's why I went to the Grand Canyon. I was gonna like, I'm gonna celebrate this in style. So over here, I'm 55. Over here, I'm not any age in cause. Here, it is 11:23. Over here, there is no time. Over here, it's universal time. Here, it's going to take 8 weeks to fix a broken bone if I got one on the river. Over here, it's already whole, perfect and complete. And as humans, we get mesmerized by what happens on this side of the doorway and forget that we have this side of the doorway as part of our experience. We look at time over here. We actually live right here is where we need to live. In the middle of the doorway is where we need to live. We need to understand that I'm 55, but at the same time, I am timeless. I am eternal. I need to understand that and be very clear. We need to understand that we have time and we have no time right now. We are a counting, measuring society, and we look this way with full intensity and forget all about this aspect of us because we want to count. We want to measure. We want to look at all those things over here. Our counting, measuring aspect is very scientific. And I love the quote by Ernest Holmes, the founder of our teaching. It's actually the opening sentence of the Science of Mind text, the text we use to understand this teaching. Holmes says this in the opening sentence. We all look forward to the day when science and religion shall walk hand in hand through the visible to the invisible. So science is the counting, measuring side of us. The religion side of us over here is that aspect which we cover up and we forget, the cause. So every now and then I read an article that excites me because it goes back to that opening sentence of the Science of Mind textbook, that science and religion are walking hand in hand as home states. And one of those articles was about a leap second that's being added to our lives this week. You know, this week you have one extra second to live life. On Tuesday night at 7:59:59, there's actually going to be a 7:59:60. It never goes to 60. It always goes from 59 to 00 and then 01. But if you look at time.gov at 7:59 and watch that, it's once in a rarity that you see it go from 7:59 to 7:59:59:60. Do you see it go there? We get that extra second. I was really excited about that. We get an extra second over here in our counting measuring side. Do we get an extra second over here? No, we don't. What's going on with that? There is no time in the mind of God. So if no time, there is no second. So what happens as I stand here in the middle? Time is added here, but what's added over here? Give me a minute, and I'll answer that. First, I want to talk about the science aspect of that. Why do scientists want to add a second to the day? Well, in actuality, they're not exactly 24 hours in a day, or 86,400 seconds. It's just shy of that, just shy of that. So shy that an extra second must be added every few years. And then an entire day needs to be added every 4 years or so. So why does this extra second need to be added? Well, it's the tides don't let the world spin exactly 24 hours. The tides are kind of holding that back a little bit. Whenever we have an earthquake or volcanoes are erupting right now, whenever that happens, that kind of slows things down too because everything's shifting. And when it's spinning, the shift is kind of slowing down just a little bit. So on June 30th, we have a leap second. This makes sure that the coordinated universal time keeps its time of day close to the mean solar time. They both should be at the 24-hour mark. If we did not have this extra second, our time we keep as humans would drift away from the solar time. And over time, you know, it would be 12 noon and it would be dark as night out there. So here the scientists are trying to kind of catch up with it. So it wasn't until 1972 that scientists started adjusting for this drift. And since 1972, we've added 25 seconds with this leap second phenomenon. And this Tuesday is going to be the 26th time that we're doing that. So this week over here on our counting measuring side, we have an extra second to live. And of course, I ask you, what will you do with that extra second? What will you do with your extra second this week? Do you know that amazing things can happen in a second? Amazing things can happen in a second. 2.4 babies will be born. 1.3 cars are going to be made. 4.2 televisions are going to be made. 79 stars in 1 second will vanish from space. A honeybee will flap its wings 200 times in 1 second. A cesium atom will vibrate 9,192,631,770 times in a second. Amazing things can happen in a second, or nothing at all. Nothing at all. Where is the difference between the amazing things and nothing? Right here. Right here in mind. I love Ursula saying it's just the power of thought. Right here in mind, the whole of the universe is patiently awaiting to be expressed here in effect. Just as you may not be patient with me, waiting for an entire hour to get ready to give you an inspirational talk, God, universal mind, infinite intelligence, whatever you call it, will be there waiting for you however long you take to either do something amazing with your second or nothing at all. You see, it's not up to God to make our lives amazing. It's up to us to make our lives amazing. Our lives over here are already phenomenal. They're already amazing. And if you're not seeing it over here, it's not because God is not doing God's part. So your life is amazing right now. The amazement has already occurred in the mind of God. There, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. With us, we get what we believe. So I loved it the moment that I learned in religious science that there is no time in the mind of God. It took a while for me to learn this. It was in class that I first read this, but I didn't understand it. So I want to read you a little bit from what the Science of Mind textbook says on that, because I just didn't get it. I really didn't understand it. And Reverend Angel is not the only one that has a torn Science of Mind textbook. When you use it that much, it tears like that. But I just want to read you one little, actually two sentences about what Ernest Holmes says about time on here. He says, the formless takes form in what we call time. Time is a sequence of events and a unitary wholeness. It is recollection, attention, and anticipation, past, present, and future. Simply the measure of experience. Of course, time is real, but never a thing of itself. So I read that in class, and I quite didn't understand that. Time is real, but never a thing of itself. So in class, I never understood what this really meant. So I would sit in the back of class. I'd make fun of Kennedy Schultz. How many of you made fun of Kennedy Schultz? How many of you made fun of Paul Gagné sitting in the back of class? Paul did. How many of you made fun of David Barrett sitting back of class going, I sat in the back of class making fun of Kennedy Schultz. What do you mean you don't have time? It's 8:58 and class better be out in 2 minutes because we're ready to go. It was not until I was at Asilomar 1 year, and Asilomar is the annual religious science conference in California, that I finally grasped this meaning of time, or understanding what that experience meant, the time that it took for the experience to unfold. A minister was telling her story about driving from Washington State to California for the conference. She knew how many hours it would take her to get there, but she wanted to have some extra time. She wanted to take her time to get there. She added a few extra hours to her drive time. She thought it would defeat the purpose to rush and speed to a conference that talks about meditation and peace, and rush back and get back to Washington State. But we do this all the time. We rush to our meditation class, we stop, we hurry away. That's what we do. So she headed out at a slower speed, driving down Highway 1 on the West Coast. How many have done the Highway 1 drive down the West Coast? Spectacular. You owe it to yourself to do it sometime. So she was taking it all in, the mountains, the ocean, and then all of a sudden, all the cars behind her were honking. She couldn't believe it. She could see people were frustrated with her. She wasn't even driving the speed limit. So she pulled over and she let the long line of cars go past. And she announced right then and there, she didn't need to go the speed limit. She was traveling at the speed of life. At the speed of life. Not the speed limit set here. She was traveling at the speed set over here. So the time it took to get from Washington to California did not matter. It was the speed of life that mattered. That's when I really got this time thing. It wasn't about the time. It was really about the speed of life and how all that unfolds. And Holmes talks about this in his definition of time in the glossary of the Science of Mind textbook. So I wanted to read that. It's a little bit longer, but I wanted to read it because it's very wonderful. He says, time is sequence of events in a unitary whole, an excellent definition given by Dean Inge. For of course, time is not a thing of itself. It is simply a measure of experience in eternity. Time does not contradict eternity, but allows it to become expressed in terms of definite experience. Time is necessary since it allows experience to take place within the one, but time is never a thing of itself. It is impossible to measure time, for yesterday is gone and tomorrow has not come, and today is rapidly slipping past. If we were to attempt to put a finger on any period of time, it would be gone before we could point to it. But elusive as time is, it is necessary to experience. So Holmes tries to explain that. Again, I would try to read that in class and not understand what he's saying. But two great lines I learned from this. Time is simply a measure of experience in eternity, and time is never a thing of itself. Time is simply a measure of experience in eternity. That is over here on this side of the doorway. That's what it is. It's just we're experiencing this over here is what's happening. Time is never a thing of itself. So as I stand here between the two doorways right in the middle, when I stop saying time is something of itself over here on this side of the doorway and recognize that it's simply a measure of experience in eternity, then all of a sudden my entire life opens up to these new possibilities when they are no longer based on time, but rather on experience. That is why I love this metaphysical teaching such as this. Meta means above, above the physical. I truly live there. I live above time. I don't keep up with all this time that's going on there. I truly live there. That is why we are a center for spiritual living. We are not a center for physical living. We're a center for spiritual living. We're talking about this aspect of ourselves all the time. We know it is not time we are experiencing. We are just having an experience of eternity is what we're doing. When you let go of time, amazing things can happen in your life. That is why I was so excited about reading an article that said they were adding a second to our lives. I immediately knew what a second was. I knew that a second was just adding more life of expression to me. It wasn't adding more time. It was telling the counting, measuring aspect of our lives that you have an extra moment of eternity to express. That's what you have. So what are you going to do with that moment? What are you going to do with it? Some of us won't know it came and went. Others will do something constructive with it. Some people will use that second to think about the past. It could be a good past or a bad past. Some people will use it to think about their future, and it could be a bright and sunny future or a dark and gloomy future. But yesterday and tomorrow can hold us like a vice grip if in that extra second we're thinking about the past or the future. We can allow our full mental attention and emotional response to be channeled on yesterday's and tomorrow's. We can misuse our present moment second, focusing on the past or the future. Something wonderful happens when the focus is on the now, the very present moment, the very present day. I personally believe in the immediate demonstration of God in our world. God demonstrates immediately. I do not need to wait on time for good to appear in my world. I do not wait for good to happen in my world. I produce my own good out of myself. And when I say I produce my good out of myself, the good is right here waiting to show up over here. I produce that good out of myself. I understand that I am always in the right place and in the right moment to create my good. You don't have to give me a sec because my good is happening now. What I love about this, you giving me a second, a minute, or an hour, is all based on the amount of patience you have with me. But in my relationship with this universal cause, my relationship with God, it is forever patient, eternally patient, waiting for me to decide or get ready for life. Sitting there. As soon as I believe all time is now and all places here, my demonstration can happen now. How can you free yourself of the limitation of time, the delay which you have placed on the action of God as it moves through you into form? First, just use your own logic and reason. This will take you part of the way. Logic and reason tell you that if anyone can overcome difficulties, you can do the same thing. If the person next to you in your office can be promoted, so can you. If someone at home can get over a cold in 3 hours, you do not need to take 3 days to get rid of the cold. Reason and logic tell you that you are in the midst of a life process, which is the action of God, the action of intelligence, the action of law and order. That's all happening. These must be in action through you. Then you need not wait longer for your good when you understand that. The only time necessary to produce any good in your life is the time it takes to clear your own thought. The only time necessary to produce any good in your life is the time it takes to clear your own thought. You will say, but David, doesn't it take time to heal your body? Doesn't it take time to make changes in my business affairs? Doesn't it take time for the Supreme Court to make their decisions? These questions only reveal our own conditioning in time. We think it takes time, and we are limited by our belief in that time. So in class, I regularly hold up my arm, and I say, if I broke my arm, how many weeks do I need to have my cast on? And everybody yells out, 8 weeks. 8 weeks. That's what we've been told. You have to wear your cast for 8 weeks for the bone to set and everything. Well, That is a conditioned thought pattern that the doctors have given to every single one of us in race consciousness. But when you sit there and start announcing during that entire time that your arm is broken, I announce it all the way over here that the day I broke my arm, it's perfect, whole, and complete. I start announcing it that second. I start announcing it because that's the truth of me. And so it's the experience that goes through that finally comes through. I can tell you I am not going to be in a cast for 8 weeks. And it was the same thing that was happening when I was working in ICUs and heart transplant units and open heart surgery units and things like that. And you had to get rid of how it was going to be. You're going to be 3 days in ICU and you're going to do all of that. It's kind of like it backed up that race consciousness backed up that you can be in ICU and out of ICU within the night and get back there. They don't have to hold you there anymore. But we're conditioned by what race consciousness says is going to happen, so we allow that time to come into our life and we hold on to that. So we're just conditioning time. We're limited by this belief in time. How long does it take for this cast to be on here? Life responds to us in terms of our mind. It responds to you. Its response to you is not determined by the way it responds to anyone else. It's your mind. It is determined only by yourself. If you believe it will take a long time to do something, you accept that time allotment in your mind, and thus that's your experience. The reason it will take so long a time is not that life takes that amount of time to produce what you want. It's because you have subconsciously decided it will take that long. Our experience is determined by our consciousness. God is not waiting. Life is already in action. The thing you want, you already have, but you do not know it. God believes you have it. This may sound incomprehensible, but it's the truth. Jesus lived in a world which, if he had permitted it, would have conditioned him in every way possible. The government was trying to condition Jesus into a life, and this is how you lit it. The Pharisees were trying to condition him and saying, this is how you live the Jewish life. Everybody was trying to condition him. So Jesus lived in a world which, if he had permitted it, would have conditioned him in every way possible. But I say, don't live in a conditioned world. He always had the health he wanted, the money he needed. He did the things he wanted to do. He wore good clothes. He traveled with a fine group of people, and he enjoyed eating at every rich man's table. Jesus was unconditioned by time. He stood in the midst of a conditioned world which said to him, you can't. You can't. And he replied, yes, I can. There's a power within me that will do it. He refused to believe that time was a limiting factor. He stood at a point in space and an instant in time and spoke truth and demonstrated truth. His friends advised him, wait till King Herod dies. Your life will be a lot easier when King Herod dies. And he sat there and said, I don't have to wait for that time. My good is now, not when King Herod is dead. He knew that if there ever was a heaven, he was in it right now. There is an unconditioned action of God possible in every one of us. The unconditioned action of God in me does not know that I am ill. It does not know that I am unhappy. It doesn't know that I've had a difficult week. If you condition your mind with these negatives that I've just mentioned, you are conditioned by your own choice. That's not in the mind of God. Whatever you decide, that's what you'll have. The infinite forever waits on the finite, and it forever creates through the finite what the finite decides it will produce. There's only one mind, the creative mind of the universe. There's only one law, and that's its action of its acceptance and belief. You are in the midst of a power which is saying to you, use me, direct me, express me. I am ready. Are you? But mind at the human level hesitates. Mind at the human level thinks there's time. We say in a few days or a few weeks, I'll be ready. I expect to have a good income in 2 years. In 25 years, I hope I have enough money to retire. The infinite process says, all right, you have told me to delay, so I will. You could have your demonstration today, but you think you can't, so you won't. Your conditioning determines your experience. How much are you conditioned over here? If you're conditioned that your life depends on what the Supreme Court says or doesn't say, you're conditioned. Your conditioning will determine your experience. If your life is conditioned on whether the economy is up or whether the economy is down, you're conditioned. The life force over here does not know what the Supreme Court has said. The life force over here doesn't know whether the economy is up or whether the economy is down. It is sitting at the ready to do good into your life no matter what. But if you're conditioned, and like I said, the counting measuring society, it's kind of like all the experts say we're in a recession or we're slowly pulling out of one. Guess what? We're in a recession or we're slowly pulling out of one. The list goes on and on. You need to stand in the midst of those conditions and know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. The truth was there the entire time of your conditioned thinking. When you think it's going to be 2 years before you graduate from college, when you think it's going to be 2 years before you get your promotion, when you think I only need 5 more years before I retire, when you think, you're exactly correct and you're conditioned with that time. So I've been called a curmudgeon this week. I know you don't think I'm a curmudgeon, but I've been called a curmudgeon this week because I'm not excited, nor am I fear about what happened with healthcare this week or who can marry who. I'm not a curmudgeon about it because I already knew years ago that over here, how I choose to take care of my body is here, not here. How I choose to love is here, not here. So I am not excited about it. I'm not fearful of it or any of that because that has nothing to do with me. I know and I stand in my truth over here. That doesn't affect me at all. So I'm not excited about it. I'm not in fear of it or anything like that. I just am. So therefore, I'm a curmudgeon. So I will not be conditioned by society and what is good for me and what is bad for me. I stand in the midst of those conditions and know something better. And it doesn't matter what conditions you may be standing in right now. If they are not the conditions you want in your life this moment, you stand up and announce the condition you want. It doesn't matter on time. Don't wait for a year or two. Don't give it a second or a minute. Announce the nowness of it. Look at the problem frankly, but refuse to accept the problem and instead accept the solution. You can look over here and see what the problem is, but sit there and say, that has no power over me. And what you do is you come back over here, this part that the rest of the world doesn't want to look at. They want a counting measuring society, and I'm not going to be counting or measuring. I want to know this is at my back. So look at the problem frankly, but refuse to accept the problem and instead accept the solution. Know that the solution's already here. You accept the demonstration now, not next year, not tomorrow, but now. When you accept it that way, it happens in that instant. So this week, when the scientists add an extra second to our lives, and I smile and I know something greater, I see how science and religion are actually walking hand in hand. One hand is saying, add a second. The other hand is saying, add life. That's what's happening. So on Tuesday, 7:59:60, I will be aware and add both. Amazing things can happen in a second because it is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. So we have this extra second out here in this world this week. What are we going to do with it? Well, those of you that are here, those that are listening online and everything, you're going to do something amazing with it because you know it is an expression of time, is an expression of this thing called life, is what's really happening. So we're going to express our life just in a greater way this week than we did last week, mainly because of that thing on the human side that says we have time. So we recognize this thing of cause and effect. We recognize cause and the wholeness of what that cause is. In that cause is the wholeness of life, the greatness of life, the purity of life. The answer is there, the wisdom is there, the strength is there, the abundance is there, the vitality is there. Everything infinite is there. in the realm of this one mind. And every single one of us is an aspect of that one mind. Each one of our individual minds use this infinite mind, and we pull from it all those infinite things that we need to pull from to come out here into the world of effect. In this place on earth, yes, we can live the life on earth as it is in heaven, but it's up to us to make those choices. It's up to us to announce the conditions of which our life is to be lived. It's up to us to deny the conditions that we refuse to live in anymore, because we stand right there in the middle of that doorway, the human aspect of us that's experiencing this time and this extra second and this thing called our lives. But we're also, the other half of us, divine, experiencing eternal life, experiencing the infinite. We are both. We recognize that. We meditate on that and understand just how powerful we are. Powerful humans. Powerful as spiritual beings. Powerful living the greatness of life. So it is on this week that we announce we live life to its fullest. The extra second can come and go. That is of no importance to us. More importantly is that we're choosing life. Fulfilling life, expanded life, every single second of every single minute of every single day. We give great thanks for understanding that this is how this law works through each one of us. It works through our hearts, it works through our minds, it works through our affairs. And I release this word to law, knowing as I've spoken this word and announced that there is no time in the mind of God, we walk out of these doors this morning, understanding we are no longer on a timetable. We set the timetable down for anything that's happening in our lives, whether it's finishing up with our schooling or whether it's finishing up and moving up the corporate ladder, whatever that is. When you take the timetable away and just allow life to experience, life shows up tremendously in a different way. So we let our conditioned minds of time fall away and open up to the infinite possibility, understanding that amazing things can happen in a second. This is the truth for each one of us, and so it is.